all the experiences that you've had as a pauper, as a prince, as a noble, as a peasant, all of them have been just practice for this lifetime. This is the lifetime. This is where all the lessons that you've learned come into play. All the karmas that you have hanging over are completed. All the things that you need to do are done in this lifetime. Everyone is here for the Satyasai avatar. This is a never before and a never again avatar. Having said that, it's not that we can just run to Swami whenever we want and ask him our questions or concerns. That's why Swami comes to us from within us, and so we can develop the interview to ask him whatever we want, whenever we want. The interview is the key to living the divine life, God's life. So if we all have this, and this is something that we want, what's keeping us from getting? Why can't we have the interview? Well, it's like any other relationship. It takes time. You have to take the time. You have to pay attention. You have to learn how to listen, understand, and adjust. Let me ask, are there any newlyweds in here? Anyone who's been recently married or within the last year or so? A couple of people. Okay, so my congratulations and condolences to you. So. So let me share you a story. Let me share with you a story about how this happens. So once there was a couple and they're getting married, and the bridegroom, several months before the marriage, goes to his father and says, "Dad, I've got this problem. I'm just really worried that my fiance is going to find out and it's going to ruin our marriage." And the father said, "Well, what is it, son? You know you can tell me anything." And the son goes, "Well, Dad, I've just got really stinky feet." And the father goes, "I know, son, it's something you inherited from your mother's side of the family." The father says, "But here's what you do. Every morning when you get up, when you go to bed, just put on a pair of socks. That'll cover up your feet and your wife won't notice." Well, the son thought this was a pretty good idea and he agreed to do this. Now, about the same time, the bridegroom goes to her mother and says, "Mom, I've got this problem and I'm just worried that it's really going to wreck our family." And the mother says, "Well, what is it, honey? You know you can talk to me about anything." And the bridegroom says, "I just got this terrible morning breath, and I'm just worried that when my husband finds out, it's going to ruin our marriage." And the mother says, "Well, everybody's breath stinks when they get up, dear." And the bridegroom says, "Well, no, Mom, my breath is really bad." And the mother says, "I know, honey, it's something you got from your father's side of the family." Well, here's what you do. Every morning when you get up, as soon as you wake up, you go and start fixing breakfast. That way, when your husband is eating, you can go and brush your teeth and take care of your breath. So the bridegroom thought this was a pretty good idea, and eventually they got married, and things worked out for a couple of months. He with his socks, and she with her fixing breakfast before brushing her teeth. Well, a couple of months went by like this, and one morning the husband woke up to find that his socks had fallen off during the night. And so he started frantically searching around the bed looking for his socks before his wife found out. But all that searching woke up his wife, and before she could say anything, she asked, "My goodness, what happened?" The husband looked at the wife and says, "Oh no, you swallowed my socks." So just as we have these difficulties, if we don't communicate honestly and clearly, so also will we have this difficulty with the interview. If we're not open to ourselves, honest with ourselves, and can speak clearly from the heart. We don't want to hold anything back from Swami. Swami, we've all seen, pretends not to hear sometimes, right? Remember a group of young adult women went to Swami and had his darshan, and Swami asked, "Where are you from?" And they said, "America." And Swami said, "Australia?" And they said, "America." And he said, "Antarctica?" And now this time they were screaming, "America!" He says, "Oh, Southeast Australia." So he just pretends, but he knows everything. He knows. But we still have to be honest for our own sake so that we can listen and appreciate clearly. Now, sometimes we neglect Swami. We all do that at some point. And when we neglect him, we effectively turn off his voice. Swami does not impose his will on us. We've seen that, right? He gives us the choice. How many times has he been teaching us the same thing over and over again? He does not impose his will on us. He allows us to choose. So if we neglect him, we mute his voice. Sometimes we don't hear the interview because we haven't asked for it or we don't know what it sounds like. a real life example of this is a friend of mine, an American, who went to see Swami for the first time. This was in during the days when Swami was walking around during darshan. And he sits in the front row, and Swami walks right up to him and blesses him, lifting up his right hand, Abhaya Hasta, blesses this young man. And this poor American, not knowing what to do, lifts up his right hand and waves back to Swami. So sometimes we don't know how the communication is supposed to be. We don't understand yet what the interview sounds like, and we're going to talk about what it sounds like and how to distinguish the inner voice from the ego voice. Sometimes we think that what we're hearing is just hallucination or our imagination, especially if what we're being told is not what we want to do, right? We've all had that experience as well. Sometimes we're afraid of God or that we'll be punished, as if God is going to send down a thunderbolt and turn us into a pile of vibhuti. But God doesn't punish us. He only corrects us. God does not punish. He simply corrects. And that's why he's here. Sometimes we don't hear the interview because our mind is clogged with judgments, with criticisms, with hatred, and with anger. And if that's the case, no matter what happens, you will never hear his voice. You have to free yourself from that prison of criticism and judgment. It is a jail. You must get out of that jail. And then finally, we don't hear his voice because there's just too much noise inside. Swami says, only in the depths of silence will the voice of God be heard. And that's why we started off this session, this retreat, with the meditation workshop. So you learn how to quieten your mind. And when the mind is quiet, then only will you be able to hear his voice. Sometimes we don't hear his voice because we're too busy or too tired. We're doped up on alcohol, nicotine, caffeine, sugar, all the things that we indulge in. We are deluded by what I call the weapons of mass distraction. TV, internet, newspapers, gossip, cell phones, food, all the things that take us away from our true identity. Our needs are truly very simple. We don't need so many things. What you have is enough. Yet we allowed ourselves to be deluded, and we ignore the voice within. Okay, well, what does that inner voice sound like? What are the qualities of the inner voice? I want you to appreciate so you can distinguish his voice from other voices. First of all, the voice of God is the voice of love and the voice of peace. When you hear Swami speaking to you, it will be with a voice of love and a voice of peace. The guidance that Swami gives us leads us in small steps, just baby steps. In the Christian literature, this is often referred to as just enough light for the step I'm on. We have to complete each step properly before he gives us the next step in the sequence. He is not going to show you A through Z all at once. He's going to show you A and maybe B. And then once you complete A and B, then you are guided to step C and D. And once you complete that, you're guided to E and F, and so forth. God gives us enough guidance for just the particular place where we are. That doesn't mean that he won't show you the overall big picture. He will, and he does that in his discourses all the time. But as far as a personal, direct, divine inner guidance goes, you will just get one step at a time, and the guidance will not continue until you complete that step. Sometimes we ignore our guidance, and then we wonder why Swami is not guiding us anymore. It's because we haven't listened to that next step. We're not going to get the next stage of guidance until we complete the current step that we're on. The inner voice is applicable to everything. You can ask him whatever you want. Sometimes we think, but these things are too small to ask Swami. Brothers and sisters, everything is small to Swami. Everything is small to Swami. So it doesn't matter what we ask him. He's there for us. Recently, my 6-year-old son came and started talking to me about some grand project that he had. And, you know, being 6, he's so innocent and loving, and he's so full of faith and earnestness. And to me, it was just a small little thing. And that's how Swami is. But still, I responded with so much love and enthusiasm and interest to help him. And so will God, because he loves us so much. The inner voice is always available 24/7. It's not like you call a phone number and Swami says, dial 9 to, you know, it doesn't happen like that. It's always available, faster than the internet even. That is the inner voice. It is always ready, always available, free of charge. It is always there. God is capable of speaking to all of us at the same time. And finally, the inner voice can be as formal or as informal as you wish. Some of us wish for a great, grand voice to come down, rumbling like the thunder clouds, speaking to us in classical biblical language, saying that we should do so and so. Or it could simply be like the voice of a best friend. For me, when I hear Swami speak within, it's in a clear, distinct voice that's coming from within, not outside here or there, but comes from within, that is kind, that is loving, and that always leaves me filled with peace. Okay, so we know what the inner voice is now, right? We know that it's applicable to everyone, and we know that we can access this at any time. We've learned some of the stumbling blocks that keep us from hearing his voice within. Let's spend the rest of our time learning about how we tune in to the inner voice. That's why you're here. First of all, we need to tune ourselves up. So we're going to do a little meditation to sort of raise everyone's energy up. It's a very simple exercise. This is a chakra cleaning exercise. And let me just walk you through it before we actually start. We're going to fill ourselves with God's light. It's always available. But we're going to clean each of the energy centers or chakras within our body. There are seven of them, and the colors of each correspond to the colors of the rainbow. So the one at the bottom, the first chakra, is red. This one at the second, between the navel and the perineum, is orange. The one within the epigastric area, just below your breastbone, is green. The one at the heart, yellow. The one at the heart chakra is green. The throat chakra is blue. The ajna chakra, the third eye chakra, is indigo. And the Sahasrara chakra at the top of the head is violet. What we're going to do is imagine that each of these chakras are like a sphere, a globe, about this big or so. And we're going to spin it so that the axis is pointing straight up and down, so that each sphere spins like this. And we're going to fill it with divine light. And all we're doing with this exercise is simply giving ourselves a tune-up, that's all, so that we raise our vibration. Because what comes from here after this in the workshop requires your strict attention and alertness, and I need you to be as alert as possible so you can appreciate the nuances in what I'm saying. So let's begin this exercise. Just as we did yesterday, keep your back straight. Let the rest of your body be relaxed. Express gratitude to Swami in whatever way is appropriate for this opportunity to be with him. Set your intention that you're going to merge with him through this exercise. And take three very, very deep breaths, using your abdomen to pull the air in and out of your body. With each inhalation, feel that you're pulling in his divine light and love into your body. And with each exhalation, feel all your tensions and concerns just drifting away. If there are problems or worries that concern you, just remind yourself that you can deal with them after this particular exercise. And now imagine a sphere at the very base of your spine, at the place of the first chakra. See it spinning either clockwise or counterclockwise, as if you're looking from the top of your head down, either clockwise or counterclockwise. And taking in very deep breaths, inhale divine light into this first chakra. See it glowing a divine red. And see it spinning smoothly and harmoniously. See all the dark spaces and patches within this simply breathed away, cleansed away by the divine light. Breathe in deeply and fill it with divine light and love. Bring your attention a little bit higher to the second chakra between the navel and the perineum. And see there an orange sphere above the first. See it spinning in the same direction as the first chakra. And again, breathing in very deeply, bring in divine energy and light into your body, into that sphere. See all the dark and dirty, dull areas being cleansed away by the divine light. And see it glow a healthy, beautiful orange color, like Swami's robe. See it spinning smoothly and in harmony with the first chakra below it. Bring your attention to the area of the umbilicus, the third chakra, just above the third chakra, above the belly button, between your breastbone and your belly button. And see a sphere there that glows in a gorgeous yellow color, a healthy yellow. Breathe in divine light and love, and fill this chakra with divine energy, with Swami's energy. Feel his light, feel the warmth as his love flows within you. And see all the dark and dull areas cleansed away. See this third chakra spinning in harmony with the two chakras below. All three chakras now spin in the same direction at the same speed. Bring your attention to the heart center and see there a gorgeous emerald green sphere spinning with a beautiful humming sound. Breathe in very deeply and fill this with divine light. All the dark and dreary places are washed away. It's all cleansed and purified by the divine light. See this heart chakra glowing so brightly, it's like a mini sun in your body. And see all four chakras spinning in harmony with each other. Focus your attention now at the throat chakra and see there a gorgeous royal blue sphere. And again, breathing in deeply, simply allow Swami's love and light to cleanse, purify, and brighten this chakra for you. No more darkness. Everything is bright, divine light. All the chakras in your body spin harmoniously. You can hear the hum, the song as they spin in harmony with God's will. Bring your attention now to the point between the eyebrows, the Ajna chakra, the third eye chakra, and see there an indigo colored sphere, a little bit darker than our royal blue. Breathing in very, very deeply, fill this chakra with intense bright light. There's no darkness, just light and love. See all the chakras spinning in harmony with each other. Finally, bring your attention to the crown of your head, to the seventh or Sahasrara chakra, where a beautiful violet globe spins. Such a lovely color. And as you fill it with divine light and love, see all the dark and dull areas cleansed away. The entire chakra system in your body is purified. Fill your entire body, breathing in very deeply. Fill your entire body and self with divine light and love. See all seven chakras spinning in harmony with each other. And now spin the chakras faster and faster, all in the same direction. Set them spinning faster and faster and faster still. And as each chakra spins faster, feel the energy. Hear the sound as it spins. See the light that's emitted along one central line so that all chakras spin like a pole. They actually become smaller and just spin along this pole. In one burst of divine light, see them simply glow like the sun, like a thousand suns. feel the energy radiating. Spin them faster still. Hear the glorious divine sound within you and feel the light that emanates from them. Breathe in deeply, slowly. Give thanks to Swami for this meditation. And then gradually come back. So what was that like? A little bit different from what we're used to, but not so hard after all, right? Does everyone feel elevated now? Yes? Can you feel the difference in your body around you? Good, very good. Did anyone have trouble visualizing the spheres? It's okay if you did, that's all right. This is something that comes with practice, so it's okay. What we've done today is simply attuned ourselves to a little bit higher level so that you can more clearly grasp what is going to be sent to you and hear what Swami is saying to you. We're not going to be doing any voodoo or magic or anything. We're not going to be even doing metaphysics or anything. This is just natural tuning into the God within. That's all. Now, the analogy that I use to describe what it's like to hear to Swami is something that was given to me years and years ago. Some of you have heard it before, but it's still very applicable. And it seems like every year or two, there's a couple of steps that are added to this. But when we tune into God's voice, we are basically like a radio. Our body, our physical body, is the actual radio that we have. Our spine is the antenna, and we learned yesterday the importance of keeping our back straight. When our spine is straight, it acts as a conductor, Swami says, like a lightning rod, for the divine energy to enter into and strengthen us. So we keep our spine straight when we are tuning into His voice. Our devotion is like, and more importantly, the intensity of our devotion is the power. It's the batteries that run the radio. Without that intensity, without that radio, or that devotion, so to speak, the batteries won't run. Our mind is the dial that we use to tune in to what Swami is saying. We can tune into the world, or we can tune in to WSAI on the FM dial, 108. So we can tune in our mind as we wish. The attachments and desires that we have to whatever it is we're asking about or listening about is the static that gets in the way and not only prevents us from hearing clearly what Swami is saying to us, but also distorts Swami's message. So that what happens is when we desire something so strongly, we distort the inner voice and hear what we want to hear. So the desires and attachments are the static that distorts the message. And finally, fear short circuits the entire system. When you are filled with fear, you will short circuit your ability to hear the inner voice. So body is the radio, the mind is the dial, the spine is the antenna, the batteries are our devotion, the desires and attachments are the static, and fear is a short circuit. A very powerful analogy, but this describes very clearly how and what we use to tune into the inner voice. Now, there's a couple of steps in going through this. First of all, you have to desire the inner voice. Swami will not force himself on you. He never does. Look at how many years we've known Swami. He never forces himself on us. He never makes us do anything. He will give us guidance and he will suggest what is appropriate for us, but he will not force himself. At the same time, we have to ask for his guidance and desire his guidance. So let's do a simple prayer in whatever way that you want. Doesn't matter. Do two things. One is to ask Swami to give you the guidance that you want. And then second thing is to ask him to remove any obstacles, any fears or attachments that keep you from hearing his voice within. Let's just do all that. Let's do that now, using the same steps that we've been doing before. Just take a few moments to do this. Breathe in very deeply. Feel yourself connecting with Swami, as if Swami is right in front of you. And then ask him in your own words these two steps. One, for help and support in listening to his voice and hearing his voice within. And two, to remove any obstacles or obstructions that prevent you from receiving divine guidance. God's voice is as loud or as quiet as you want it to be. You can turn up or down his voice just as easily as you adjust the knob on a radio. This is at your request. It can sound like a whisper or it can be a raging voice. Now, let's go over the three steps that we use to tune into his voice. The first is to breathe. We talked about the breath yesterday. The breath is the divine link to receiving divine guidance. It's like DSL. So before you tune in, just like we've been doing with the meditation, start out by taking three very deep breaths. Keep your breathing slow and use the same abdominal breathing that we mentioned yesterday. So the first step is to breathe. That's simple. We all know how to do it, but use the divine breath that we've been given. Breathe in his energy, breathe out your worries. The second step is to be quiet. Be quiet. We have two ears and one mouth, so mathematically we should be listening twice as much as we're speaking, right? The divine guidance, like we've said, divine voice, is a very natural form of communication. It's what we have all been gifted with since birth. But the voice of God, Swami says, is heard only in silence. Mother Teresa said something that strikes to me. She said, "Before you speak, it is necessary to listen. For God speaks in the silence of the heart. Before you speak, it is necessary to listen." So be quiet and breathe. Let yourself be still. And then the third step is to trust and allow. Trust that Swami will speak to you, and then allow his message to come to you. Many people feel frustrated because they struggle to hear that small, still voice. And at first, it is just a tiny, still, little voice that eventually becomes a loud broadcast. But that same struggle keeps us from hearing the voice. So the analogy that I would give you is what I call the dish network method of reception. You all know these little satellite dishes that you see outside of people's houses. Many of you have them so you can get all those fancy Indian channels on at your home, right? Right? So this is what we call the dish network method of reception. What does that satellite dish do outside your house, really? I mean, it just sits there, right? Nothing. It's not doing anything. It's simply allowing the signal that is being broadcast to come to it. It's simply receiving it. It is not going out. It is not straining to get that signal. It is not struggling to get the message. It simply allows the signal that is always being broadcast to come. Just allows it to come, and then it captures it. So this is what I call the dish network method of reception. You trust that Swami will speak to you, and you allow his message to come to you. There's no straining here. You know, I do a lot of hatha yoga, and in hatha yoga, we talk about relaxing into the asanas that we do. And so also in this inner voice method, you're simply allowing. You're trusting and allowing the message to come. There's no struggle. There's no strife. There's no strain with this. It's very natural. Now, some of us have preconceived ideas of what or how we should receive the inner voice. So we're going to talk in the next step about how to do that. But let's just try it first. Let's just see how we do, okay? And then we'll go over the specifics. So everyone, get ready. This is going to be our first attempt for some of us to hear the inner voice. Some of you guys are experts already at this, I know. But let's go ahead and try. Keep your back straight. just relax the rest of your body. You have no worries. You have nowhere else to be. You have nothing else bothering you. Give thanks to Swami for this opportunity to be with him. Set your intention that you're going to hear his voice in whatever way is appropriate for you. Breathe in very deeply. Breathe God, breathe Swami into you. Breathe his light and love. And feel all your worries and concerns just being washed away. You have nothing to do but enjoy his love and his bliss. If it helps, see and feel Swami before you. He's come for you. Make your breath very slow, gentle. And then ask Swami, Swami, what can I do to come closer to you? Give thanks to Swami for his message and guidance. Thank him for his presence. And then slowly come back. So did anyone get any answers that they would like to share? What did you hear? So be still. Very good. Very good. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else get a message? To talk less? Very good. Very good. Wonderful answers. And they all have the ring of Swami's truth to them. They all are consistent with Swami's teachings. It's one of the characteristics of the divine voice. Don't worry if you didn't hear anything. It's okay. We're going to talk about how to do this, and we'll spend quite a bit of time. When we do communicate with God, take your time. Don't be rushed. You know, we all run around. When I go to work, like I was saying, I hit the ground running. I'm running from the time I enter to the time I leave. But with human relationships, with a divine relationship especially, it's not like that. Take your time. Take your time to speak with God. And more importantly, take your time to listen to what God is telling you. Take your time. Okay. Now, when we go into the interview room, when Swami calls us in, how do we perceive Swami? We want to know what Swami is telling us and what he's sharing with us. So we see Swami. We listen with our ears. We may touch Swami and feel him. We may feel his love with our hearts. And we, if we're lucky, we may even get to give him a big hug at the end. So we use our senses to perceive what Swami is telling us on the physical plane. For the interview, from within, we have inner senses that we use to perceive His divine guidance. And let's go over these inner senses so you understand what they are. I think all of you can appreciate this. This is what Jesus said when he said, or this is one of the interpretations of what Jesus meant when he said that though they have eyes to see, they see not. And though they have ears to hear, they hear not. We're not talking about the outer eyes or the outer ears. We're talking about the inner vision, the inner hearing. And this is what we need to develop that inner view. This is clear seeing or clear audience, or I'm sorry, clear voyance, clear hearing or clear audience, clear feeling, clear sentience, and clear knowing or clear cognizance. These are just fancy words, but essentially we're using our inner seeing, our inner sight, our inner hearing, inner sensing, and our inner knowing. Four simple senses that we are all gifted with that we can use to receive the divine guidance. Now, that inner hearing can be sounds, it can be a voice within, or it can be words that are spoken to you, it can be in a voice. Like for me, when I hear Swami, it's a clear, direct, very kind voice that sounds like a friend speaking to me. I do not hear outer voices, you know, outside of me, talking to me. It's an inner knowing, an inner hearing that I hear. It can be in English, it can be in your own language. It should not be in some funny dialect or some funny accent or a dictatorial or damaging type voice. Those are not, that's not God's voice, that is something else. It's a calm, soothing, simple, easy to recognize type voice. I remember once when I was still in college, I was in Los Angeles and I was going to Santa Barbara to attend a Sai retreat there. And I was at the LA Greyhound bus station in the middle of downtown LA. And I was sitting outside, it was a gorgeous day, and the whole bus station was just packed, just jam-packed with people. And I was sitting on the curb and I saw a young lady, an African-American lady, who just looked so despondent and so sad. My eyes just glanced on her. I usually keep my vision to myself and keep my eyes on the ground when I'm moving around, but I just happened to glance on her. And when I did, Swami said to me through the inner voice, or this is what I heard through the inner voice, I heard, go and talk to her. And I said, what? And the voice said, you heard me, go and talk to her. So I got up and I sort of sat next to her. I said, hi, how are you doing? And introduced myself. We struck up a conversation. And it turned out that this young lady had been a pastor at a church in Texas somewhere, and through a series of very unfortunate events, had lost her church, had lost her job, had lost her name, her fortune, had lost everything that she had in life. And she was now going to get on a bus, go to a city that was near a river, go to the bridge that went across that river, and throw herself off the bridge. And so Swami put me in that situation to talk to her, to talk her out of it. And that's what we did. That's what happened. And when she realized that this was not God's will for her, she changed her life completely. She was transformed. And she thanked me. She said, it's as if God sent me an angel through you to come and speak to me. This is the guidance that we receive through the inner voice. This woman's life was saved because of Swami's intervention. So the inner voice, the inner hearing, is a voice that is clear, crisp, and from within, not outside voices. These are inner voices. So that is the inner hearing. There is also inner sight or inner seeing. These are our visions. They can be images, mental pictures that we see. Sometimes we may see something that's going to happen to us or happen to someone that we know and then change our course of action because of that. We may be in a meditation and receive a particular image of something that's relevant to what we're relevant to our life. They can be literal pictures that say exactly what you need to do, or they can be very symbolic. They can have certain symbolism associated with them, a picture of a cross or an omkar or whatever it is in your particular tradition, or something like a car or a plane. It can be a symbol. If you don't understand what the symbol is meant to be, then just simply ask for clarification. If you don't understand what you're being shown, then just ask, and you will receive clarification. This inner hearing, or I'm sorry, inner seeing can happen while you're awake, it can happen during dreams. It is something that is available to us, but it requires that inner silence, what we said before, be quiet, breathe, trust, and allow. Sometimes we get direct communication from God through feelings or hunches. This is sort of the inner feeling, right? We just get butterflies in our stomach, or we just have a hunch that something is going to happen, and then sure enough, it does happen. That is another way that God communicates with us, simply through feelings. This is often seen in people who are very right-brained in their outlook, and is a very useful way. You don't have to get A plus B equals C. You can simply get an intuition or a hunch that tells you what you need to do. So this inner knowing. Sometimes we have an inner knowledge. Simply thoughts come to us, ideas come to us. We just simply know what we need to do. This is the inner knowing, or what was sometimes called clear cognizance. It comes instantly. My grandfather was a prime example of this. When he was still practicing, he was a lawyer in his younger years, for many years, very prominent in his town, and he did a lot of work related to land rights and water rights. And his clients would always panic before the court day because my grandfather would never read any of the voluminous documents that they brought to support their case. They would have, you know, huge boxes of documents for him to read, and he would never read any of them. And they were just panicking. They would talk to him before the case, and he would simply know nothing that they were talking about. And they would always be fretting. My grandfather would say, "Don't worry, everything will be fine." Before the case actually started, my grandfather would go, and he would just touch the documents like that. Just simply touch it. And through that, he was able to know everything that was inside, and then he would start arguing the case. And he was very, very successful this way. This is an example, extreme example, granted, but this is an example of this inner knowing. Inner knowing. Question? No. Okay. So these are the four senses: inner seeing, inner hearing, inner feeling, and inner knowing. All four of these senses are available to us to perceive what Swami is telling us. None of them are superior to the other. Many of us, though, will focus on one or two of these inner senses at first, depending on our particular orientation, and then over time, as we develop and progress at this, we'll start to use all four senses to perceive what Swami is trying to tell us, to perceive the divine inner guidance. It takes time to do this, so you have to practice. You have to make sure you're breathing, make sure you're quiet, and make sure that you're allowing, but it will happen. You have to decide to hear and just allow, don't strain. Okay, I want to spend some time distinguishing, before we move on to actually hearing the divine voice directly, I want to spend some time talking about how to distinguish between God's voice and the voice of the ego or false voices. It's really important to know, as you can imagine, is the voice that you're hearing, is the message that you're getting really from Swami? Is this really divine guidance? Or is it wishful thinking? Or is it your ego telling you something? Is it fancy? Even worse, is it some astral entity that you've tuned into, or something else that you have tuned into, that some undesirable energy or thought form that you've stuck yourself onto? You want to know that the guidance that you're getting is direct from Swami and not from anyone or anything else. It never surprises me to hear how many people who've not come to these workshops just simply take whatever their guidance they're getting and follow that. The way I see it is, if someone comes and knocks on your door, you're not going to let any stranger into your door, right? We would never do that. We would never let just simply anyone who comes and knocks on our door into our house. We would make sure that they're appropriate, that they're safe, that they're friendly, right? And that they are benevolent to us. So also, why then would you simply allow any message that comes to you within and act on it, as without first testing to see that it really is from God? That's what we need to learn. Let's spend a little bit of time talking about how to distinguish your voice from the ego's voice. And there are a couple of characteristics that are very distinctive. First of all, the voice of God is the voice of love and the voice of peace. How do you feel when Swami speaks to you, or if Swami has spoken to you, or if he were to speak to you, how would you feel? What would just call out some comments? You would feel love. You'd feel happy, right? We feel just tickled. We're just happy when Swami talks to us. And that's the same type of feeling we should have, maybe not as intense, but we should still have the similar feeling when God is talking to us. The voice of God is the voice of love and peace. The ego voice speaks with fear, with insecurity, with jealousy, or some kind of sense of lack. God has no sense of lack. His storehouse is always full. The voice of God is a voice of love and peace. When he speaks to you, you should feel surrounded by warm, joyful, and loving energy, not energy that leaves you feel prickly or cold or afraid. His voice is always consistent with Swami's teachings. So what our sisters shared with us today, talk less, be quiet, these are exactly the kind of things that Swami would tell us. Swami is not going to say, you need to sleep 3 hours a day to prove your faith in me. He would never say something like that. Whatever Swami says will always be in line with his teachings. It will always be helpful, never harmful to you or to anyone else. Swami's voice, the inner voice, is always focused on the present. He may nudge you not to procrastinate, but he's not going to bring you back to something that you did way in the past or to some event in the far distant future. The voice of God is always a voice of now, the very present moment. He may tell you to get prepared for something that you need to do, but he's not going to start taking you off into some event 5, 10, 15 years from now. He's not going to prophesy for you. God, Swami, how many times has Swami prophesied? Hardly ever, right? We don't, as much as we would like to hear Swami say, this is what's going to happen, he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. The voice of God doesn't prophesy. So the voice of God is in the now moment, in the present moment. He speaks with a you. He doesn't talk about I or me, I mean, as is the voice that you hear. He speaks about you in a loving way. He uplifts you. He does not blame or criticize you, and he will not blame or criticize others. He will not lift you above others to make you superior to others, and he will not put you down to make you feel inferior to others either. If you hear those type of voices, know that that is just ego. That is only the false voice speaking to you. Swami's voice is always about helping yourself and helping others, especially, never about taking advantage of others at their expense. And his voice is consistent. It doesn't change from one thing to another. You may ask Swami, Swami, should I marry person A or person B? When the voice tells you to marry person A today and person B tomorrow, that's not Swami's voice. Swami's message, God's voice, is always consistent. It is persistent. It is not going to intrude on your will, but it'll always be consistent from time to time. It'll be direct and to the point. It will not be wordy and full of grand language or anything. Swami speaks very simply. His voice is very simple. Simply look at his discourses. It's very straightforward. He's not going to be full of big verbiose language and hierarchical schemes and all these obtuse and difficult things to understand. It's going to be very straightforward. That is our Swami, and that is the inner voice as well. Now, it's very important to make the distinction between Swami's voice, the inner voice, the voice of God, and the voice of the ego, or the false voice. And you have to be able to do this accurately every single time. And so let's go over a couple of tests that you can use to distinguish if whether what you're hearing or seeing or feeling is from God or from the ego. Swami tests us all the time. I mean, why not test him, right? So let's go over these tests. These are the things, when you get guidance, these are the tests that you should use to help you understand whether the inner voice that you're hearing is really from God or from the false ego or the false voice. First and the foremost test is the feeling that you get. Remember I said before, the voice of God is a voice of love and peace. You should get that same feeling when you get the divine guidance. How do we feel when Swami is speaking to us? That is the same feeling we should have when God is speaking to us from the inside. In the Bible, I was able to find some verses in the Bible, sort of the best-selling spiritual text of all time. But I found some verses that were very applicable to this. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 14, verse 33, it says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. The feeling that you get when God talks to you should be one of love and peace. That is the first and most important test. The second test is the identity. Who is this one that is talking to me? Simply ask. It's okay. God will tell you. If it's him, he'll say. And he won't say, ah, why did you ask? He will simply ask. He will confirm. Do not receive inner messages without knowing who the messenger is. Use common sense here. This is not metaphysics. This is common sense. Do not get messages without knowing who the messenger is. We don't read our emails without knowing who it's coming from, right? That's why we have our spam filters on. In the same way, do not receive these messages without knowing who the message is from. So ask for the identity. Simply ask, and then ask for a calling card. Ask for a calling card. Say that you want to know where this message is coming from, and you want to know who's giving it to you. And they will tell you. If it's Swami, he will tell you in a very clear, in a very simple and sweet voice. He may say, "Beloved, is simply me, your Lord." And ask him to give you a message that it is you, and he'll give you something. What is a calling card like? It can be an inner or an outer sensation. It can be a feeling of warmth inside. It can be sort of a bristling or a tingling of the skin and sensation that you get, a smell of vibhuti or of agarbati, or it can be a sensation that you have in the throat. It can be any of these type of things, but ask for the calling card. So first ask the feeling, the test. First test is feeling. Second is to ask for the identity, and the third is to ask for the calling card. And Swami will send you a signal saying that it is him, and it will be that same signal each time. One of the greatest composers of all time, Beethoven, said that when at times of great inspiration, he would feel a tightening in his throat, a bristling in his skin, a sensation of lightness and joy, and he would feel that all of nature were his instruments to create his beautiful music. That is when he knew that he was in tune with God. So this is the calling card that he got when he knew that he was getting divine guidance to create his incredible music. So also, when you establish the identity, simply ask for a calling card. And you can use whatever term you want, but Swami, send me the signal that it is you, and he'll send it to you in whatever way. The third is the quality of the voice. If you're listening, if you're using your inner voice or inner hearing, the quality of the voice should be consistent with Swami's voice. You would not expect Swami to come and speak to you in, say, an Irish accent, for example, right? Why would he do that? That's not our Swami. He's not going to do that for you. There should be no theatrics, no funny gimmicks, no funny accents, no weird tone of voice. It is going to be simple, direct, loving, and to the point. The quality of the message is the fifth test. It should be uplifting. Simply said, it should feel you leaving with a feeling of peace. The sixth test is the awareness that you have at the time that you're getting the message. And this is important. Do not try to seek divine guidance when you are ill, when you are feeling tired, when you have strong negative emotions. Do not ask for guidance at that time, because your own emotions will become static, that will distort the message that you're hearing. So the level of awareness is the sixth test. You should be awake, unless you are getting a message while you're sleeping in a dream state or something, but otherwise you should be awake, you should be alert and fully conscious. You don't need to go into a trance to get God's messages. Sometimes we see these mediums and channels who go into a trance and they start saying all these things and they may quake and shiver. That's just Broadway shows. That's not about getting the inner voice. This is God is within. He doesn't need a whole orchestra to put on us, tell you anything. It's just a simple, quiet voice. But you must be awake and alert when you hear his voice. Do not ever allow anyone to take over you, even God. In the sense that, yes, God will act through you, but you don't have to say to your inner voice, take over me and do everything through me, and lose your sense of free will. Do not do that. You have your free will. You're using God's energy and love to act through you, but you are not allowing anything to take over you. You must maintain that free will, whatever that little tiny bit of free will that we have. And finally, look at the results. After you do all these six tests, the seventh and last test is the results. And in Matthew, chapter 7, 15 through 16, he says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits." Many, many false prophets come. We're living in a time of many false prophets who come and speak about God without actually knowing what they're talking about. Be very careful. You'll know them by their fruits. Be very careful when you're listening to the inner voice. Use these seven tests. Let's go over these seven tests again because they're very important. The first one is the feeling that you get. So when God speaks to you, when he guides you, when you get a vision or a dream, you should have a feeling of peace and love, the same feeling that you would get if Swami were directly speaking to you. The second is to ask for his identity. Swami, is that you? If you get a yes, then proceed. If you get no answer, then stop. If Swami says yes, or you get a feeling that it is him, then ask for a calling card. Swami, can you send me a signal that it's you? And simply wait. He'll give you some tingling, some feeling, some way of knowing that it's him. If you get no signal, then stop. Ask at a different time, when you're feeling more alert and relaxed and free of anger or tension or whatever. Listen to the quality of the message that you're getting. It should be free of the theatrics, the drama, the funny accents, and the gimmicks. No gimmicks here. Swami's not a used car salesman. He's just going to tell it straight like it is. Listen to the quality of the message. It should be uplifting. Look at your own awareness. You should be bright and alert, not dull and lethargic. And finally, look at the results of what Swami tells you. Did you think that Swami was speaking to you and then everything went wrong? Swami will not misguide us. He will guide us correctly. So go back. Each of these seven tests should be correct each and every time. As you get more and more experience with this, you'll be able to apply this automatically. In my own practice, I simply listen for the feeling. I ask for the identity. I don't often ask for a calling card because I've learned the quality of Swami's voice. I look at the quality of the message and I look at my own awareness. I do not seek divine guidance when I am angry, hungry, tired, sleepy, or basically not fully alert. I always make sure that my alertness is very high. And then for my own self, I keep a journal of the results so that I know when I was wrong and when I was right. Basically, when I was following the divine guidance and what I thought was guidance was correct or not, so I can judge and learn how to correct myself. So apply these seven tests when you hear the divine guidance. Okay, let's practice this now. Let's practice these seven tests. Make yourself comfortable, but make sure you're alert. Don't fall asleep. Swami's coming and talking to you. Don't sleep when Swami's in front of you. Give thanks to Swami for this opportunity. Set your intention that you're going to hear his voice. You're going to receive guidance from him by inner seeing, inner hearing, inner feeling, or inner knowing. Breathe in very deeply, breathing in his light and love. Feel yourself so that you glow like a sun. Recall the seven tests that we spoke about, the feeling, identity, the calling card, the quality of the message, your own awareness, the results. And then ask Swami, what area of my life can I change to be more in harmony with your will? In other words, how can I live my life so that I'm in greater harmony with your will? Use your own words. give thanks to Swami. Know that you can call on him anytime. And slowly come back. So does anyone want to share with us what they felt or heard or saw? So you at least you start, that was a start, right? You smell vibhuti. So that's a sense that at least Swami is near and is and you're beginning to open up that that inner sense. Others. So a big Goodyear blimp with the banner saying love, love, love. Was Swami driving the blimp? Others who would like to share. You felt relaxed and happy. Did you get any message about what you should do? So the sister shared that she has a certain issue that she has been receiving guidance about, but it's not the message that she wanted to hear. Yet the same message comes again and again. Again, a perfect example of the persistency, the consistency of Swami's message to you. It may not be what you want to hear, and at those times you're more likely than not to say, oh, it's just my imagination. But the divine guidance is persistent. It doesn't change from one moment to the next. It's very consistent, and it asks you to do the same thing. And until you take this step, it'll be very difficult for you to gain additional guidance for the next steps beyond this. Very good, thank you. Anyone else want to share anything that they received or heard? Your heart is pounding so much. Sometimes when you're in dialogue with Swami, you feel so excited. You feel, I mean, how would you feel if you were talking to Swami? You know, you've all seen how we all, when devotees are just so thrilled to be in his form. So sometimes we have that feeling, that sensation that we're just, it's thrilling to be in his presence, and that happens. Sister. You got the word love to come. And again, all of these are consistent with Swami's teachings. Swami didn't ask you to go and run into the forest and live there, right? He's not saying those things. These are the things that are consistent with Swami's teachings. These are common sense things. See how simple this is. It's just a matter of breathing, being quiet, and allowing his message to come to you. Okay. Now, when we, let's see, it's about almost 10 o'clock. We're going to do an exercise. You know, when we're in nature, it's very easy to hear Swami's voice. It's very simple. When I go for a walk or hike in the forest, I talk to Swami just like I'm talking to you guys. It's very simple to hear his voice when you're out in nature. The healing power of nature is very profound. It's something that we unfortunately underestimate in our current society. We're so much used to living inside boxes, inside houses and rooms and cars and so forth. We have what I call nature deficit disorder. Our kids have it too, and then we wonder why they're bouncing off the walls. Nature deficit disorder. So it's maybe a little bit chilly outside, but let's go ahead and try this. We're going to take about a 25-minute break now, and go ahead and you know, spread yourselves out, get your jacket on, bundle yourself up, and just go for a walk for about 5 or 10 minutes. This is, a sacred activity. I simply don't want you to wander off and go get coffee. What I want you to do is go walk with Swami, take him by the hand with you, and talk to him. But whatever it is that you want to talk, use the same rules that we've just talked about. Be quiet. Breathe. Don't forget the breathing part. That's your DSL line to Swami. And just allow the answers to come to you. Just spread out in all different directions. Don't get lost in the woods, please. Everyone should come back.
There's a lake, a 25-acre lake on this side, so water also, if they want to see that, like that's nature and water.
So there's different directions that we can go. We can turn, if you're facing the front of the hall, you can turn left down that hall. You can follow the road down towards the right, which is probably the best option.
Another one is this direction, that's water.
And then directly behind the hall is another path that leads towards a lake. So we have about, let's make it half an hour. So it is, you know, I'm a doctor, so my watch is always fast. That way I can make sure that I get to where I need to be on time. So let's use this clock here. It says 9:50. So by about 20 after, let's be back here. If you come back early, you can go and have your break and so forth and so forth. But go ahead and leave here quietly. Get yourself bundled up for the weather and go and spend time with Swami. Go out into nature. No, don't stay in buildings, but be out in the trees, in the grass, and in the woods.